ఘోరఘోరసికా భువిభావుకాః నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతిం వ్యాసం తతో జయం ఉదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అబద్ధేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయ. భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. రీడింగ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 5 చాప్టర్ 17. టుడే వి ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు సీ వర్స్ 2 and 3. This both are prose verses, so there is no chanting of the verse. Just straight away go into the translation. Translation and Param Purpa is Divine Grace Abhay Charanagar Swami Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Srila Prabhupada. So verse 2. Dhruva Maharaja, the famous son of Uttanapada, is known as the most exalted devotee of the Supreme Lord because of his firm determination in executing devotional service. Knowing that the sacred Ganges water washes the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Dhruva Maharaja, situated on his own planet, to this very day accepts that water on his head with great devotion, because he constantly thinks of Krishna very devotedly within the core of his heart. He is overcome with transcendental anxiety. Tears flow from his half open eyes and emotions and eruptions appear on his entire body. Purport. When a person is firmly fixed in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is described as Veeravrata. This word appears in the translation, and Prabhupada expands on this verse, on this word. It's a normal system Prabhupada does. Fully determined, such a devotee increases his ecstasy in devotional service more and more. Thus, as soon as he remembers Lord Vishnu, his eyes are filled with tears. This is a symptom of Mahabhagavata. Dhruva Maharaja maintained himself in the devotional ecstasy, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave us a practical example of transcendental ecstasy when he lived at Jagannath Puri. His pastimes there are fully narrated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Verse 3, translation goes like this. The seven great sages, Marichi, Vashishta, Atri and so on, reside on the planets beneath Dhruva Loka. Well aware of the influence of the water of Ganges, to this day they keep Ganges water on the tufts of their hair on their head. They have concluded that this is the ultimate wealth, the perfection of all austerities, and the best means of prosecuting transcendental life. Having obtained uninterrupted devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they neglect all other beneficial processes like religion, economic development, sense gratification, and even merging into the Supreme. Just as jnanis think that merging into the existence of the Lord is the highest truth, these seven exalted personalities accept devotional service as a perfection of life. Transcendentalists, this is Purport. Transcendentalists are divided into two primary groups. The Nirvisheshavadis are impersonalists, and Bhaktas are devotees. Impersonalists do not accept spiritual varieties of life. They want to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord in His Brahman feature, the Brahma Jyoti. The devotees, however, desire to take part in the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. In the upper planetary systems, the topmost planet is Dhruva Loka, and beneath Dhruva Loka are the seven planets occupied by the great sages, beginning with Marichi, Vashishta and Atri. All these sages regard devotional service as the highest perfection of life. Therefore, they carry the holy water of Ganges on their heads. This verse proves that for one who has achieved the platform of pure devotional service, nothing else is important, even the so-called liberation, Kaivalya. Sri Sridhara Swami states that only by achieving pure devotional service of the Lord, one can give up all other engagements as insignificant. Prabodhananda Saraswati confirms his statement as follows. Kaivalyam narakayate, tridishapura akasha pushpayate, duddhatyendriya kala sarpa patali, prokhatadam strayate, విశ్వం పూర్ణ సుఖాయతే, విద్ధి మహేంద్రాదిశ్చ కీఠాయతే, యత్ కరుణా కటాక్ష వైభవాంతం తం గౌరం ఏవస్తు మహా. శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు హ్యాస్ పర్ఫెక్ట్లీ ఇనిషియేటెడ్ అండ్ బ్రాడ్కాస్ట్ ద ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి యోగ. Consequently, for one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the highest perfection of the Mayavadi is Kaivalya, or becoming one with the Supreme is considered hellish, to say nothing of Kermi's aspiration to be promoted to heavenly planets. Devotees consider such goals to be worthless phantasmagoria. There are also yogis who try to control their senses, but they can never succeed without coming to the stage of devotional service. The senses are compared to poisonous snakes, but these senses of a bhakta engage the service of the Lord are like snakes whose, with their poisonous fangs removed. The yogi tries to suppress his senses, but even great mystics like Vishwamitra fail in their attempt. Vishwamitra was conquered by his senses when he was captivated by Menaka during his meditation. Later she gave birth to Shakuntala. The wisest persons in the world, therefore, are the bhakti yogis, or as Lord Shri Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita 6.47, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatheer antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Gurun Shri Yudapata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagagnatagunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantha Radha Kantha Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namavo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaita Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauravatta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So today we have these two wonderful verses which describes the activities of Dhruva Maharaj and the seven great sages in the higher planetary systems in Dhruvaloka and all the seven planetary systems which is occupied, which is with the sages below Dhruvaloka. In the previous verse, this was described how Ganges. Okay. So the previous verse describes how Ganges came down in the material world this whole section is because of the question of Parikshit Maharaj that he asked, that he wanted explanation about the Bhumandala. So the last chapter gave some complicated arithmetics of how Bhumandala is and what are the different dimensions, and in this chapter the description is continuing of how the whole thing is situated. So this two verses which is there today, these two verses specifically describe the activities of Dhruva Maharaj and the sages in the liberated stage. And we see that their activities in the liberated stage are not very much different from the activities the facilities, in terms of facilities what they have, is something better, but it's not very much different from what we have here in Mayapur or in any other holy dham where the holy rivers are flowing. In the previous purport, Prabhupada is talking about different holy rivers flowing all over India and how people are fortunate to reside on the banks of the holy rivers. So we also have the Ganges flowing here in Mayapur on this side. And we also have this wonderful association, we have the deities, and we have all these facilities. But there is a difference between how we approach these facilities and how they approach the facilities. So this makes the whole story different, that how these great souls, they approach these facilities and how we approach these facilities. And though the same facilities are here, but we approach these facilities in an enjoying mood. We are approaching these facilities as if these facilities are made for our own enjoyment. We have this idea that I am the Lord of all, I survey. So we go to Ganga, we want to frolic in Ganga. We want to have a nice time in Ganga. We want to dip so that we can cool down the summer heat. So our Ganga snan is more like a cooling effect for summer. And our Ganga snan is for having a nice time when it's so hot outside. So this is our whole mood of Ganga snan. So we think that this Ganga is flowing for my enjoyment, that this whole river is there, very nice temperature, good for summer time. So I can go at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the evening, and when it is too hot outside, and I can have a nice dip there. So the same Ganga is flowing in Dhruvaloka. It's not something different. The same Ganga, the same water which purifies the sages, the same water which Dhruva Maharaj is taking with so much of respect and putting on his head, and the same water which the seven sages, they keep their tufts of hair moistened with, the same water. It's not different. There's nothing difference between the Ganga which is flowing in Mayapur and the Ganga which is flowing in Dhruvaloka. So the same facility is there, and we are in Mayapur, which is the spiritual world. So we don't have to think that we don't even have the spiritual world. So Dham is also there, and Ganga is also there. So this potential combination of Dham and Ganga is there, and we don't have to think, because every different varshas we will see that they have some presiding deity who is present there. And the people who are living in those varshas, they keep glorifying that deity. It is going to come in the next chapter, the prayers of the residents of Jambudvipa, very beautiful prayers they glorify. We don't have to think the Lord is not there. We have Radha Madhav. We have the Panchatattva. We have the five, the most merciful forms of Krishna. And we have Krishna himself. And we have Radharani. So the whole combination is there. We have Bhagavatam. We have association of the devotees. The five potent combinations which Rupa Goswami gives in Nectar of Devotion is there, very much here, present in front of us. Every day we experience this. But our problem is that because every day we experience this, we think that this whole thing is for our enjoyment. We don't really think how fortunate we are. For the past 3 days I was in Puri. I was visiting Puri Dham, and evening we saw one very wonderful festival, because their Chandan Yatra is going on. So Madan Mohan and Lakshmi Saraswati, they are taken a nice palanquin, followed by Krishna Balaram, they also taken a nice palanquin, and followed by the five Shivas for the Kshetrapalas in Puri. So they all go in the evening time when the sea breeze is blowing. They all go in a very nice procession from the temple, from the Shri Mandir. They go to Jagannath Vallabha Garden, and through Jagannath Vallabha Garden they go to the Narendra Sarovar. Very beautiful tank, Narendra Sarovar. And there is a swan boat, beautiful swan boat arrangement which is made for Krishna Balaram and the five Shivas separately, and Madan Mohan separately. There are two different boats. And they go in a nice boat ride in the evening when the breeze is flowing, when the water is cool. They go on a very nice boat ride. And then what happens is that after the boat ride, they come to a big snana mandap which is there. And the snana mandap has got three bathing areas, each with a separate marble plunge pool. The three separate plunge pools are there, three separate bathing rooms. And Lord Shiva, all the Lord Shivas, they go to their plunge pool. And the Lord Madan Mohan, he goes to his bathing area, and Krishna Balaram, they go to their bathing area. And these pools are filled with very nice scented water with sandalwood pulp, with uh, uh, with uh, with camphor, with flowers and so many things. These pools are filled with the scented water. And the deities go inside this pool, with the scented water, and then the pandas, they start pouring water on those deities. Very beautiful arrangement of the Leela of the Lord, which is going on. I was told that this Leela goes on till the middle of the night. Again, they take bath, the bhoga is offered, and then the Lord goes again for one round of boating, and then he goes back into Srimandir. So the whole Leela is being played out. The whole system is there, the whole facility is there, the whole thing is going on. That's why in this verse, Prabhupada Saraswati is saying that Vishwam Purna Shukayate. Because Vaikuntha is here for the person who can see. Every different pastime of the Lord is going on here. Vaikuntha is here. That's why it says that Ihayasya Harerdasa Karmana Manasagra Niklasavapi Ahastashu Jivan Mukta Savuchyate. That simply if we can engage our body, mind and words completely in the service of the Lord, then sitting here with this material body, we can simply get liberated. We don't have to aspire separately for going back home, back to Godhead. Because going back home, back to Godhead means this is not going to a separate place. Because there is no place which is not God's home. This material world is not made by somebody else. This is also made by Krishna. So every place in this creation which is known or unknown to us is Krishna's place. It's just a matter of consciousness. What consciousness we have. And with what consciousness we approach these different places. That's why Prabhupada called this society as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's not International Society for Krishna Devotion. It's not International Society for Krishna Service. Of course, these items are there. But what makes a difference in these items is the consciousness. Is the consciousness of the person. Actually, in Puri we met Bhaktivinoda Swami for a few minutes. He's only at Bhaktivinoda Swami for a few minutes. And in those few minutes, he gave us a very wonderful, in gist, he gave us something very wonderful. He quoted from Mukundamala Stotra, a very beautiful verse, which I want to share with all of you. He said, Idam Sariram Parinama Peshalam Sata Sandhi Jarjaram Patati Avashyam Kim Aushadam Prachasi Muda Dhurmate Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba. He said that this whole, that the verse says that this whole body, this Idam Sariram, this whole body, this Parinama Peshalam. Because of transformation, sometimes this body looks very attractive. Parinama means that a lot of transformation is going on. Because of transformation, this body sometimes looks so attractive. Then we become a handsome man or a very beautiful woman. And then we get attracted to each other. The whole science is there. This is called Jada Rasayana. There's two types of Rasayana. There's Jada Rasayana and there's Krishna Rasayana. Jada Rasayana means that this is the chemical activity of this material world. Because this body also has some chemicals which Krishna has put inside. This is not made by science. It's not come by chance. The scientists are very happy to say that this whole thing came by chance. No, it's not by chance. Krishna has put some chemicals inside us. In some hormones, and he has also given some program inside us. What is the program? The program of three modes. He has programmed it inside our body, inside our mind. He has given that program of three modes. And with the combination of this program of three modes, which act as a catalyst, then there's a lot of chemical reaction which is taking place within this body, this Jada Rasayana. And this chemical reaction sometimes produces some tissues and muscles which make the man look very handsome and which make a woman look very curvy. And then, you know, these things attract each other. These things attract each other. Then what we say is that we fall in love with each other. And then if you're sensible, we get married. And then we want to live happily ever after. Of course, that never happens. We always live fighting ever after. If you are sensible, we'll keep fighting, but at the same time, we will have some idea that we have to live together because we have come in this whole arrangement of a Vedic marriage. We cannot separate. So we have this sensibility. And then we learn how to tolerate and love each other. This is what happens ever after. That simply we have to tolerate and love each other. If we don't have that sensibility, then we start looking at legal and illegal means to get separated. Then again we go through the same cycle of falling in love with some other person, again fighting with that person, again going through the same cycle. This is jada rasayana. And after some time, we need something else. We need some other chemicals which come in the form of small tablets, because we have started falling sick. Old age is taking over us. Hair is no longer black, it's all white. The muscles are no longer strong. The tissues are no longer curvy. They are all drooping, they are all falling down. These muscles have become loose. There's no more six-pack muscle to show to anyone. There's no pack muscle. There's only pack of drugs, jada rasayana. So we start taking this jada rasayana, that every day we have to take some jada rasayana to keep ourselves fit, so that, you know, that different kinds of bodily ailments don't trouble us. But still, in spite of all these things, we are still looking for that aushadhi within this material world, which can make me think that I am the lord of this material world. We don't give up. We don't so easily give up. In spite of going through this for time immemorial, we don't want to give up also. In spite of knowing all these things, that's why Bhagavatam is telling that please be careful about this consciousness. Please be careful about this mentality. Please be careful about what you are doing. So Bhagavatam gives a whole history of people who have gone through this jada rasayana. All the nine cantos, they enunciate the history of people who went through all this jada rasayana, the chemical reactions of the material world. And few fortunate ones found out that these chemical reactions of the material world have got nothing to do. There is no value in this. Including the higher chemical reactions, which is made up of Somabana and Surabana, which is all available in the heavenly world. And even higher chemical reactions which are there in the Brahmaloka, nothing is worth. So those who found this, then they opt for a different rasayana. That is Krishna rasayana. Niramayam Krishna rasayana. Niramaya means prophylactic. That the moment we touch Krishna rasayana with proper consciousness, the purification starts. Even if we touch Krishna rasayana with improper consciousness, the purification starts. Only thing, it's a question of timeline. That if we approach with proper consciousness, we can get purified fast. If we don't approach with proper consciousness, the purification takes a longer time. And also it is painful. Why it is painful? It is painful not because Krishna wants to give us pain. It is painful because we don't want to give up pain. In spite of knowing this, in spite of seeing this, in spite of seeing this again and again and again, that the whole system of this material world is simply there to cause pain. But still we don't want to see. Dehapatya kalatrajishav, atma sainyeshav, asatsav api, tesham pramattho nidanam. Simply mad. We become mad. Why we are mad? We are mad because we think that all this arrangement of the material world can keep us happy. The different aspects of the material world can keep us happy. And many times we come with the same idea to devotional service. So when we take up devotional service with the same idea, then we don't have a fixed goal in our devotional service. Because sadhana bhakti or devotional service has got a very fixed goal. That goal is that it has to give rise to bhava. Of course, it's not a mechanical process. But if we go through the process sincerely and keep ourselves open to the flow of mercy of the Lord, we can reasonably expect that the Lord's mercy will give us bhava. But that is the goal of sadhana bhakti. Any process has got a process and a goal. So when we go through the process, we have to keep the goal in mind. If we don't keep the goal in mind, the process is useless. So we come to devotional service, but we don't keep that goal in mind. So our devotional service in practice simply becomes a casual devotional service. It becomes a devotional service in time pass. It's not a devotional service in practice. Because we don't have that goal in mind. We don't think every day that why I am chanting these rounds. We don't think every day why I am going through these different ways of service. Then what happens? Then the material mentality of enjoying mentality takes over. Then the different goals of devotional service come up as upashakas, as the different weeds which grow up in devotional service. Then we get into all this profit-making mentality, we get into all this enjoying mentality, we get into all this respect-demanding mentality, all the different mentalities follow. All these things come. Then we start seeing every item as an item of profit and enjoyment. Either we see it as an item of profit or as an item of enjoyment. Okay, we see a piece of land, then we think how much profit we can make from this. We don't think that this is Mayapur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that even a dust of this place cannot be owned by anyone. What do you think of making profit from this place? So the whole consciousness, the whole idea changes because we don't keep the goal in mind. We don't understand, we don't reiterate ourselves every day that I am doing sadhana because I want to get to the platform of bhava. We don't think that every day I have to shed tears of anxiety, which Dhruva Maharaj is shedding. He is already liberated. He is in Dhruva Loka. He is able to see the Lord. But still he is shedding tears of anxiety. But here we are happily laughing ever after. Oh, I made so much money, I made this, I made that. I made so much politics, I made so much, I have such a place, I have such a post, I became this, I became that. But where is the tears of anxiety which we need to shed? Because there is no focus. The focus of devotional service is lost. In the hundreds and thousands of details which we go through every day, which we process every day, in the process of our so-called devotional life, we lose the focus of why we are doing all these 100,000 things every day. When we start thinking that every action of ours is simply there to awaken the bhava, to awaken the ecstatic love for Krishna, then our whole approach to devotional service will change. When we start thinking that whatever facilities we have accumulated, whatever things which Krishna has given to us, whatever things which have come to us providentially, one day we have to walk off from all these things, like the great kings did in Bhagavatam. Like Dhruva Maharaj, like Bharat Maharaj, all of them, every great king who ruled the whole planet, all of them walked off. All of them walked off one day without seeing back. When we start thinking that this is what we are going to do one day, then our whole approach changes. Every day when we start reminding ourselves that the whole activity which I am going to do today is going to help me to awaken that ecstatic devotional service to the Lord, then our whole consciousness changes. Then our whole planning changes. Then our whole approach changes. That's what we are supposed to do. That is why the system, Prabhupada initiated the system that every day we have to chant these 10 offenses, and then end of 10 offenses, what we say? Every devotee who claims to be a Vaishnava must guard against these 10 offenses in order to quickly achieve the desired success of life, which is Krishna Prema. So every day we have to remind ourselves that this is what we are going to do. We are not doing devotional service for anything else. Everything else is just something which is incidental. The facilities are incidental. The post is incidental. The power we get is incidental. The profit we get is incidental. Everything else is incidental. What is the main aim of our devotional service? That we want to get love of Godhead. That is the main aim of devotional service. So when we have that aim in devotional service, then every day we will start crying in front of deities that please, please help me. Normally we have this idea that we are helping the deities. This is our normal idea. That I am helping ISKCON by doing service. I have offered myself my entire precious lifetime. I have offered my entire precious intelligence and intellect in the service of Prabhupada. I am so great. I am helping Prabhupada. No? We are not helping Prabhupada. Prabhupada is helping us. ISKCON is helping us. The deities are helping us. Whatever little service we do, this is because of some great good fortune that we were not having for time immemorial, that we were not having when we are going through these 8,400,000 species of life being kicked by Maya up and down like a football. We were not having that. Now we have that. Now we have that. Now we have this great opportunity to pick up one small dust which is lying on the courtyard of Panchatattva and then putting it on the dustbin. That's a great opportunity. Millions of lifetimes we have waited for this single opportunity where we can see a piece of dirt and then we can pick it up and put it on the dustbin. We don't think like that. We don't think like that. We are so casual in our approach to devotional service. That's why many times I think that I am doing casual devotional service. We don't think that every single small activity which we do in devotional service, we have been waiting for millions of lifetimes to get that small opportunity by which we can enhance our devotional service, which becomes our permanent credit, which will never be lost. That small devotional service which will never be lost. Krishna will always think, Krishna will always know, yes, you did pick up that piece of dirt which you saw outside the courtyard of Panchatattva Hall and you did put it in the dustbin. Krishna knows, he is seeing and he remembers. And for that one piece of work, Krishna may even take us back home, back to Godhead. If we read Nectar of Devotion, there's so many simple things where Rupa Goswami is saying, just do this, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. Just do this, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. So every single small detail of devotional service, every single small detail of service which we do in the holy dham or in anywhere, sitting anywhere, spreading Krishna consciousness, every single thing is precious. Every single thing has the full potency to deliver Krishna consciousness to us if we can do it in proper consciousness. Of course, we need to do great things in the service of the Lord, by the mercy of the Lord. But even small things, we are doing in the service of the Lord, by the mercy of the Lord. There are hundreds and thousands of people who are crossing this courtyard, Panchatattva courtyard. Not everyone picks up that piece of dirt or piece of dry flower which is lying there and puts it in the dustbin. We are the chosen one who can do it. So it is so precious. It's so precious to pick up one piece of garbage and put it in the garbage bin. It's not some shudra job. It's not some kind of thing which the cleaning guy will do. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility as devotees. And when we take up this responsibility in our hands, then this place, we can see the spiritual world manifesting in this place. Of course, I am not saying that the different departments who are responsible, they did not do those things. Of course, they also have to do everything. But that doesn't mean that we will sit, relax and then say, okay, this is this fellow's job, that is that fellow's job, they are all not doing the job properly. So I am there and I will not do anything. No. We have to grab every opportunity of service available. Even small things, and small things will make big difference. And when we do it with proper consciousness, this act of taking a few drops of Ganges water and putting it on our head can make us ecstatic, can bring tears of love from our eyes. But every day we go to Ganges, we plunge into Ganges, we are going up and down, up and down, up and down. No tears of love, which a few drops of Ganges can produce. And when there is Abhishekam, we are drinking liters of Charanamrit. I think this is something which is very unique to ISKCON, that we drink liters and liters of Charanamrit. Normally everywhere we get drops of Charanamrit. We drink liters of Charanamrit. But still, there is no chemical reaction. There is no Krishna Rasayanam happening. Why? Because our Jada Rasayana is so strong. We are drinking Krishna Rasayana. When we drink Charanamrit, we are literally drinking Krishna Rasayana. Krishna Allah is telling Krishna Rasayanam Piba. So drink the Krishna Rasayana, the auxiliary of the devotion of Krishna. That's Charanamrit. We are drinking it. But still nothing is happening to us. Why nothing is happening to us? Because we are so engrossed in our Jada Rasayana. So the whole idea of Srimad Bhagavatam is to give us this clear concept that we should be focused in our devotional service. That we should know why we are doing devotional service. And when we get that focus in our devotional service, then all these five potent items which is there, which is living in Srimad, in Sridham Mayapur, having the association of great devotees, serving the different deities, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things, they will manifest. They will manifest love of Godhead in our heart. And finally, because this whole the idea of this verse is about shedding tears, I want to read one small extract from the purport of Nectar of Devotion, from the summary study of Nectar of Devotion, where Prabhupada talks about shedding tears. It starts like this. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called Laulyam, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. If one develops this Laulyam or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the price to enter into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, there is no material calculation for the value of the ticket by which one can enter the kingdom of God. The only price for such entrance is this Laulyam, Lalasamai, or the desire and the great eagerness. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Mentioned a verse, Mukunda Malam Stotram.
Yeah.
But you never said the verse. I don't know if that was an omission or not. Is there a verse that you wanted to chant?
I chanted the verse, I think so. Idam Sariram Parinama Peshalam Patati Avashyam Satasanti Jarjaram Kim Aushadam Prachasi Muda Durmate Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba.
Could you give us the English?
Okay. Idam Sariram, this body, Parinama Peshalam. Parinama means transformation. Peshalam means attraction. By different transformations, this body becomes attractive. But the actual position of this body is that Satasanti Jarjaram Patati Avashyam. That there are hundreds of joints in this body. All these joints will become weak, and one day this body will fall down. Patati avashyam. Kim aushadam prachasi muda durmate. What kind of medicine you are looking for when this is the fact that initially this body will be attractive by some transformation, later this body is bound to fall by the different looseness of the joints. When this is the established fact, what kind of medicine you are looking for? Kim aushadam prachasi muda durmate, useless mind, niramayam. That prophylactic, Krishna Rasayanam Piba. Drink the auxiliary of Krishna, which can deliver you to the spiritual world.
I thank you very much. The only other thing I would like to say is a comment, is that, if that's okay, is that when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement, there was a devotee who coined a phrase that was very popular. And that phrase means was casual, means casualty. That was a very popular phrase when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement. And the kind of funny thing is the devotee who chanted that, who coined that phrase, later became casualty. But anyway, he used to say, it was a very popular phrase, casual. When you're casual about devotional service, it means you will become a casualty.
Yeah, of course, we see a lot of casualties because of casual devotional service. It's full of casualties. Anyway, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Krishna Conscious Movement is a hospital. And in that hospital, everybody is a patient. And Krishna and the spiritual masters are the doctors. And different patients have different levels of sickness. Sometimes some patients become very sick. They develop different types of sickness and then they have to fall down. But then it's a long process. It's something which is happening between the devotee and Krishna. And we see a small window in that long process of what's happening between devotee and Krishna. In that small window, we are saying that, oh, this devotee has fallen, this devotee has risen, and things like that. But actually, it does not have so much significance because in the longer picture or in the broader picture, whatever fall down or whatever the devotee go through, that may actually bring them back with a greater force into Krishna consciousness in the next lifetime or the lifetime after. So these all whole signs of Krishna consciousness will be very complicated to understand. Of course, there is something which is happening in front of our eyes, and that's a very, very small window which we see. But there is a whole thing which we don't even know what's happening. So as long as we are not casual and we are we constantly remind ourselves that we need to be we should not become a casualty of casual devotional service, it's all right. Yes, please.
Can you give us some advice how to not to be forgetful of our goal? Maybe you have your practical experience or realization?
Actually, we are doing Sankirtana Yajna. Okay. The process for Kali Yuga is generally every Yuga has got a process. In Kali Yuga, our process is to do Sankirtana Yajna. Yajna means before doing Yajna, we have to take Sankalpa. This is the system, this is the Vedic system. That before doing Yajna, you take Sankalpa. Okay? Sankalpa means that you take a vow that you will complete the process of Yajna. This is called a Sankalpa. Okay? So generally, in Vedic system, for taking Sankalpa, some mantras are chanted. These are called Sankalpa mantras. Where you establish your position, you establish the time, you establish the date, and you establish the purpose of the whole activity. And then you take a Sankalpa that by Krishna's mercy, I will complete this Yajna. Okay? So that's how it is generally done. That's the procedure of taking Sankalpa. So what is good is that every day before we chant our, before we start our rounds, we also have to take some Sankalpa. We have to also chant some Sankalpa. It can be a simple reminder that I am doing this chanting because I want to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Or it can be some mantras which we want to chant. Like, you know, personally, I like to chant the verse from Nectar of Devotion, which is the Paribhasha Sutra. Anya Vilashita Sunyam, Jnana Karmadu Navrittam, Anukulyena Krishnanu Silinam Bhakti Ruttamam. Because that's our goal of chanting. So personally, I like to chant that mantra. And I also like to chant, other than the pranam mantras of our Diksha Guru and Prabhupada's pranam mantra, which is both are compulsory, I also like to chant the mantra of pranam mantra of Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Dadadi Sapadantikam. Because Prabhupada says in many places that we are Rupanugas, that we are followers of Rupa Goswami. So this kind of puts our practice into focus, that why I am doing all these things. And during the course of the day, when we get to a very difficult situation in our service, we also need to think back about the Sankalpa which we take every day. That this is the reason why I am doing this. Because otherwise, especially when devotees are in management and things like that, we can get bewildered by so many things which is happening around and which we have to face in our day-to-day life. And the pressure of that bewilderment makes us forget that why we are doing this. The process is so complicated in material world that the process tends to bewilder the person who is practicing. That's the nature of material world. Because in material world, everything is bad. Everything is complicated. There's nothing simple. That's why we require management in material world. In spiritual world, there's so many things are going on. There are millions of things which are going on more than what is going on in material world, but there's no need for active management in spiritual world. Because everybody is in proper consciousness. But in material world, there's no consciousness. That's why we need management. And management by itself is a contaminating consciousness because we are trying to manipulate. So the whole process is so complicated that we need to constantly remind ourselves why we are doing this. If we don't remind ourselves, then we can get bewildered. Then we can get, we can go haywire. The whole process can take us haywire. That's why, you know, Krishna consciousness is like a very thin line. Walking on Krishna consciousness is like walking on the rope. You know, you need to keep your balance always. That's why we need this stick, big stick of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The moment we lose this stick, then we can fall down this side or that side. So that's one way of keeping the focus. That, okay, at the time when you're going through the complication, you may not be able to remember it because of the nature of the complication. So that's why in the night before sleeping, sometimes it's nice to meditate on what we have done and offer everything to the Lord. There's a mantra in Vishnu Sahasranam, kayena vacha manasa indriyeva buddhyatmana manushita swabhavat karomi yat sakalam parasmai narayanayati samarpayami. That by my body, but by my words, but by my mind, whatever I have done, and let it all become an offering to Narayana. Then when we chant this mantra, then we also become conscious of what we have done. So if we have done some nonsense, we cannot offer it to Narayana. If we have done something which is inappropriate, then we cannot offer it to Narayana. So these things, if we put in our, sometimes if we don't know the Sanskrit, there's no need to chant the Sanskrit. At least we should, in the end of the day, during the night, we just offer whatever we did to the Lord or to Guru. Then we become more conscious, because if we have done something inappropriate, we cannot offer it to Guru. So that time the consciousness starts pricking us that no, how you are offering everything to Guru, this is something you have done nonsense, and how you are offering it to Guru. So the whole process is that always to remain, conscious of what we are doing. That's another technique. Then try to offer everything what you did, then you become more conscious.
Thank you, Prabhu.
I think I should ask Mataji if there's any question. Because last time there was a complaint from Mataji saying that, you didn't ask me. So I'll ask them. Any questions? Okay, they are happy. My time is up. 7:55. Probably those who want to go can go, and I will take one more question. Goel Garmukho.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for very sobering class. I'm pretty sure we all sitting here have a tremendous benefit of what we hear and your couple wake-up calls. But I know a lot of people who would benefit from such lectures also, maybe daily lectures like this, but they don't listen to the lectures. And we have to be concerned mostly with our personal spiritual life and don't look, and judge others. And I don't want to judge, but I think should we be careless and, whatever happens, whatever going on around, whatever going on with our fellow Vaishnavas, what we can do. So my question, what should be our attitude? How we can help ourselves first of all? That's first step. The second step, how we can help others, not outside of our society, but those inside of Mayapur who don't see the dam as a holy dam, who don't see the Ganga as a holy Ganga. I know, we start with ourselves, but should we make this step, and how we should make this step also to help others?
Actually, we have to understand that in management, we use a concept called as a circle of influence and circle of concern. Okay. So there is something called a circle of influence, where you have a set of people whom you can influence them. And there is a set of people who are outside this circle, who are called a circle of concern. We have a lot of concern over them, but we cannot influence them. So generally, in management, we say that work with circle of influence. Okay, but in Krishna consciousness, there is a twist to this. There's a full twist to this in Krishna consciousness, when we use this, actually. And I have seen that to some extent happening in my life also, so I can speak with conviction about this, that when you start working with circle of influence in Krishna consciousness, what happens? There are two things happens. Okay, one thing is that you start people in circle of concern, they start seeing that people in your circle of influence, they are becoming more and more richer in Krishna consciousness. Okay, so just by that aspect of your positive influence within your circle of influence brings people from circle of concern into your circle of influence. That's one aspect of it. It's a big topic, but I'm just giving it in gist to you. Okay, they bring it into your circle of influence. The second aspect is the aspect of Krishna, because Krishna is a person and he is watching you, what you are doing. So what he does is that when you are properly situated in proper consciousness, and when you are having a good influence over the people who are around you, then Krishna upgrades you to a situation where your circle of influence become bigger and bigger. As long as your consciousness is right, the circle of influence keeps on increasing. The moment your consciousness becomes polluted because your circle of influence has increased, then that day you can expect Krishna to pull the rug under your feet, and then you'll fall down. But practically this happens, that Krishna does wonderful things with us when we start positively influencing people, simply, you know, being concerned about the circle of influence. And normally what happens is that we neglect people in our circle of influence, and then we start talking about people in our circle of concern, which we cannot do anything. And because we are spending so much of time in circle of concern and we are neglecting people in circle of influence, actually we see that people around us whom we can influence positively, they are not getting nourished. When they are not getting nourished, people around us who are not under our influence, they are not going to get encouraged to come under our circle of influence. So we need to be careful that yes, of course there is a circle of concern. Of course, we need to be concerned about so many things, but we also have to remember that while we are concerned about so many things, we also have to remember that Krishna is under control and he can do wonderful things, and he can if he wants, he can put us in a situation where we'll be able to control everything on his behalf. Or if he wants, we can see, it's all question of consciousness, that it's all question of how much purity we have in consciousness. Then Krishna reciprocates accordingly. Ye tamam prabhadyante tam stateva bhajamyaham. Normally we tend to separate management from philosophy. This is our problem. We think that philosophical life or devotional life is different and management is different. That in management we should not talk about philosophy. That's not the concept. We, as devotees, we have only one life, which is devotional life. All other things are parts and parcels of devotional life. So when we try to understand this concept and when we try to work on our circle of influence, then automatically the circle of concern slowly becomes our circle of influence also. And most of the time devotees do have this experience. It's not that devotees don't have this experience, but they are not conscious of this experience. They don't think that Krishna is working on them. They think that this is all happening just like that. You know, we normally think that scientists think that they are telling everything by chance. But we also are like that. We think by chance we became a preacher. By chance we became a bigger preacher. By chance, we got the opportunity to give Bhagavatam class in Mayapur. By chance, we got some opportunities to grow in Krishna consciousness. We don't see in every aspect of our life that reciprocation of Lord. When we start seeing the reciprocation of the Lord, then it becomes more sweeter, and then we are more conscious, then our circle of influence also increases, and that's how it works. Otherwise, to work on people on circle of concern is really difficult. Because they will not listen to you. Anyway, they will not listen to you. Yes, close. I have a clear type-out signal from the people. Thank you very much. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gurudev ki jai. Gaur Premanande.